and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you back with us. Good to be back with you. And I tell you what, we are going to be traveling today. Yes, indeed, traveling. Well, with our minds and hearts anyway. Because there's something that I want to revisit. Something that I've been talking about off and on. Off and on for a number of years, actually. First time I began to discuss this was probably about 10 or 12 years ago. Off and on, I've mentioned it since then a few times. And I think it's time for me to bring it up again. It has to do with change. And I know that, you know, in a lot of ways, we have people who are really looking for change. And sometimes, often, it comes down to, especially when we're wanting God to bring about change, it'll come down to whether or not we have done our part to put ourselves in position to experience the change that we're wanting. But here's the thing, too. When I say the change that we're wanting, what I really mean is when it comes down to experiencing the change that God has planned for us. Because I think there's some of us have realized over the years that the change that we want is not always the change that God wants for us. The change that we want for ourselves is not always the change that God wants for us. And I know I've heard a number of people over the years from different places say this, that there was something going on, whether it was at home or whether it was at work, something was going on, and they wanted a change. And they wanted a change in the circumstance, and or they wanted a change to take place in someone else. And they discovered later on that God wanted a change to take place in them. And so they were expecting a change. They were wanting to experience change, but they were focusing on the wrong change. They were focusing on what came to their minds as to what would be best for them. And they had not taken the time to find out from God what change he said would be best for them. So, well, we're, you know, wanting this change, needing a change. Many times a change is in order. Many times. I'm saying many times because not always, at least again, not change as we expected. For example, during the Great Tribulation, God's people are going to really, really be persecuted. Day after day after day after day, after week, after month, for a number of years. And you can best believe that after that persecution has gone on strong and heavy, heated, for 7, 8, 9 months, there are going to be a whole lot of people of God who are going to be wanting change. And it's just human nature that when we're really going through something, that we want the change to be, Lord, change the people who are causing me to go through what I'm going through. Lord, change the circumstances so that I don't have to go through this anymore. Stop the circumstances, one way or another. And very often, you know, when we're going through tough times right now, we want God to change the situation, but we don't have a clear notion of how he would change it. I can tell you, during the Great Tribulation, you know how the change is going to come? For many of God's people, the change is going to come through death. They will gain the victory by refusing to love their lives more than they love God, more than they love the Lord Jesus, more than they love the Holy Spirit. Their minds are going to be made up no matter what. They're sticking close to the Almighty God. And many will lose their lives as a result of that decision. But that's when their change will come. Their spirits will be received into heaven. Their bodies will be wherever their bodies will be until the resurrection of their bodies, the raising up of their bodies from the dead, where their bodies and spirits will reunite. For some of God's people, they're going to continue to suffer and suffer and suffer until the Lord Jesus returns to this earth and puts down all that madness, just shuts it down. That's when their change will come. But here's the thing. The change will come for each person. The change will come in God's way and in God's time. And those are some of the things that we've got to begin to really embrace, some truths we need to really embrace. God's timing and God's ways are always the best times and the best ways. And so we have to learn to trust Him. We really do. And that's the way it has been forever. I'm saying forever. We haven't been here forever. But for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, from the beginning of mankind right up until the Lord Jesus returns. And then beyond that, after the end of His 1,000-year reign, and then finally the Lord Jesus, the Lord God, the Father, God the Father, lowers the New Jerusalem from heaven, and He comes to live with His people forever. It's so important, ladies and gentlemen, that we learn to love the Lord God with such a strong and mighty love that we trust Him no matter what. And we deal with whatever we have to deal with, knowing that God truly loves us, and not allowing ourselves to conclude He doesn't care about me. He's let me go through this all this time. I hear you loud and clear, but that's not an indication that He doesn't love us. And think about, you know, understandably, we get upset when people say ugly things about us. We get upset when people try to destroy our reputations. And like I said, understandably, we get upset about that. But listen to this. How long have you and I been dealing with that? 5 years? 20 years? Jesus has been dealing with that for thousands of years. We get upset when we discover that people are messing with our children, messing with our spouse. But God the Father has paid attention and observed for centuries and centuries and centuries as people have attacked in one way or another, verbally or otherwise, physically while He was here on the earth, His Son, and been attacking Him verbally since then, and will continue. The Lord Jesus watching and observing as members of His body, people who helped to make up His bride, are being persecuted, lied on, slandered, cheated on, betrayed. And can you imagine what it is for Him to be observing every sin committed against His sincere and genuine saints who make up His bride? And He's been watching that happen for centuries. So don't assume that God the Father did not love His Son, Jesus, because He allowed Jesus to go through all that He went through while He was on this earth, including being beaten to the point where some prophets say He didn't even look like a man, hung on that cross naked. God was fully aware of what was being done to His Son. That didn't mean he didn't love his son. He absolutely loved his son more than he loves anyone else. Jesus loves his bride so much that even though he knew that all of us who make up the body of Christ, who make up the bride of Christ, would sin against him, he knew that he would have people who are connected with him committing adultery against their spouses, habitually lying about what they've been doing and not doing, slandering people of God. Bad enough to be slandering anyone, but slandering people of God, stealing, committing all kinds of sins before finally getting to the point where they would be sincere enough about wanting to please him that they would change and be changed. The Lord Jesus and his Father continued past tense and continue present tense and will continue future tense to love all who make up the bride despite our sins. Now, that's not to say that there's not a price to pay for those sins. Oh, yeah, there's going to be a price to pay always. There's a price to pay. And some people have enjoyed their lives, they've enjoyed their sins for decades while saying that they're spirit-filled Christians. Definitely churchgoers, but saying they're spirit-filled Christians too. The losses that will be experienced. You know, fortunately, some of those people are going to change, truly be reconciled again to God, and be received into heaven when they die. But they're still going to experience tremendous loss for all those years and years and years that they indulged in sin. And the loss that they will experience will be losses that they will have for throughout all eternity. Losses of reward, losses of status, losses of intensity and level of glory. The loss will be forever. Nothing they'll be able to do to go back and change the way they will have lived that will have caused the losses. They'll finally repent like the prodigal son did in Luke chapter 15. They'll finally repent of all their sins. They'll finally repent of having left the Father and moved so far from him. And they'll finally return to him. And he will welcome them back and celebrate them and their return. But there's no way that they'll be able to make up for all those years of sin and the loss that will accompany all those years of indulgence in sin. But here we are. We're expecting change. We're often needing change. And so this is what I wanted to begin to focus on. Again, a concept that I began to talk about years ago, and it is time to revisit the concept. The fact that this is a time of release, renewal, and restoration. That's what we're going to be focusing on today. Release, renewal, and restoration. And I'm going to be taking us through just a general look of each of those three. And when I say a general look, by simply defining what each of the words means. And then we're going to focus for a while on release. And I'll tell you why we're going to focus on that one first as soon as I come back.
through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, and I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box.